Today on Wings, two of our reporters in India visit the headquarters of India's Self-Employed Women's Association, known by the acronym SEWA. Founded in 1972 by lawyer and cooperative organizer Ila Bhatt and registered as a trade union, the association has grown to 1.5 million members who are self-employed or work in the so-called informal sector. SEWA has transformed many lives. Please stay tuned.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Wings Radio Show. This is Smita Ramanathan with Manju Venkat from Bangalore, India.
Hello, listeners. Today, we talk about a movement called SEWA. SEWA is an acronym for Self-Employed Women's Association. It is a trade union with a membership of nearly 1.5 million women who are either self-employed or working in the unorganized sector. SEWA has its headquarters at Ahmedabad in the western Indian state of Gujarat. It was in Gujarat that Mahatma Gandhi, known for his peaceful and non-violent methods of resistance, was born. The values of non-violence and collaboration guide SEWA's work. Aptly, the word SEWA also means service in most Indian languages. It was established in 1972 by Ila Bhatt, India's well-known Gandhian and labor movement leader.
We travelled to Ahmedabad to meet with the leaders and members of SEWA and learn about their organization and lives. In Gujarat, it is customary to address women as Ben, which means sister. At the SEWA office, the sisters had gathered to begin their day with prayers and yoga.
Om Dasha Shri Narayana Tu Purashottama Guru Tu Siddha Buddha Tu
The Vice President of SEWA, Manali Shah, says that these prayers are a great source of strength. It reinforces their sisterhood. A lawyer by training, Manali Ben has been with SEWA since 1989. She gives us a brief glimpse into the history of SEWA.
We registered our union in 1972 and our founder is Ila Ben, and she was working with the Textile Labor Association. It's a textile workers union. So their wives were unprotected workers working in the market. They were asking for wage increase. The owners said that this is not possible. Their husband said, why don't you go to Ila Ben? They met Ila Ben and then they have a strike and then they got the wage increase. So our first trade group is from the head loaders and handcart pullers. In our country, 93% workers from the total workforce are from the informal sector and they contribute a lot to the economy, but they always remain invisible. There is no voice, and if they don't have any voice, so they don't have representation, validity, and nobody is organizing these workers, and especially the women workers. So we decided to organize only women workers in the informal sector. But our approach is family. So we take care of the health care of their family, insurance, everything, but in the leadership of the women. So women are leaders in SEWA.
Manali Ben tells us about the difficulties faced in registering a union of self-employed workers.
When we wanted to register our union, they don't want to register our union. Our name is Self-Employed Women's Association. They said, oh, these are all the self-employed workers, so where is employer-employee relationship?
The proof of that.
Yeah. Somehow we registered our union. So everywhere we have to make our own base, because the structures in our country is meant for the formal sector. So whenever we want to do something, then there is a structure. So we have to think about the structure.
To further illustrate the initial challenges, she gives an example of women working in the bidi industry. A bidi is an indigenous cigarette made by rolling tobacco in a leaf and tying it with a string.
We were organizing bidi rollers. It's a local cigarette in North Gujarat. So there we are organizing the home-based bidi workers. Women are working at home, so they bring the raw material from the employer or the contractor, and then they roll the bidi and the next day give the finished product, and they get wage per piece. So these are all piece rate home-based workers. Their hands are working, but they are invisible. So they ask for the wage increase, and the employer just closed down the unit. And he said that now from next day you don't have to come for the work. So then they decided to have a big rally and like that. And then we filed a complaint in the labor department. So then the labor department called us and they said that, oh, these are not workers. They are doing this work to pass their time. So that stuck in the mind of Ilaban. And then she said, no, we have to give some name to these workers. So there should be some identity as a worker. And then we gave the name to these workers as a home-based workers.
In 1996, the International Labour Organization recognized the rights of home-based workers by adopting the Home Work Convention.
Starting out with roughly 100 members in 1972, Seva today has nearly 1.5 million members across 16 states in India. Seva's members are divided into four main trade categories. These are 1. Hawkers, vendors and small traders, 2. Home-based workers, 3. Manual and contract laborers such as landless agricultural laborers, construction workers, headload workers, and 4. Producers and service providers investing labor and capital to carry out their business such as farm women, salt workers, livestock rearers. Seva has identified 124 different kinds of trades that its members are engaged in and provides services specific to each trade. Each member pays an annual membership fee and elections are held to the union once in 3 years. Seva's goals are to achieve full employment and self-reliance for all its members. By this, Seva means that members must be able to meet the 6 basic needs of daily life, which are adequate food, clothing, shelter, healthcare, education, and financial services. Pratibha Pandya, administrative officer of Seva, tells us about their struggles and how they organize the members. Seva has a joint strategy of struggle and development.
In Seva, as a union, we fight for the rights of the women. First of all, our work begins from the creating awareness among the women about their status as workers. Because many a times the women never knew that this is whatever they contribute to the family economy is a productive work. Like many of the occupations are family occupations, like cattle rearing, pottery, tailoring. But women's work is not considered as productive work. So whenever women are asked what you are doing, then they will say that I am not doing anything. I'm a housewife. Another aspect is that this is a membership-based organization. The women members own the organization and we are only the facilitators for them. So whoever joins Seva, she has to come with that mindset that no, I am working to facilitate members' work. 80% of Seva staff comes from the community. We have the spearhead teams. That means community leaders. So that's how they work. It has happened that the cadre of the leaders have been created and they have taken up the charge. Seva Executive Committee also comes like that. I mean, we have the members, the trade committees, and then out of that we have the representative council, and the representative council selects or elects the Seva Executive Committee members. And also everybody follows same vision, our ideology, our engine objectives, our strategy of work. Everything is same. So everybody knows about it.
Struggle is an important part of Seva's strategy. However, it is never at the cost of values. Their demand for rights is always through a process of continuous dialogue, even in the face of violence. Kapila Ben, the president of Seva Union, talks of her struggle for higher wages when she joined Seva 20 years ago. Kapila Ben was working in the BD factory in Anand district of Gujarat.
Khadi Malik ke samne humne hamari sujhav rakha ki hamara 14 rupya chalta hai.
When we demanded higher wages, the factory owners got very angry. But we did not want to fight with them. We were asking for our rightful wage. In Seva, we believe in Gandhian values and we did not want to deviate from that. However, the owners were not willing to listen to us. We sat on a strike in our village. They cut the electricity supply to the village. They threw stones at us. They tried to bribe my in-laws to get me to withdraw from the strike. However, we were 600 workers and we stood together. My family too supported me. We had several rounds of discussions with factory owners and government officials. In the end, we got our rightful wage.
Seva's founder, Ila Ben, in her book Anubandh, Building 100-Mile Communities, talks about the importance of cooperatives. Ila Ben explains Anubandh as being the combination of two Sanskrit words, Anu, which means to follow, and Bandh, which means connection or bond. She writes that this bonding increases the bargaining power of members. When women become members in Seva, many of them also become members in their respective trade cooperatives. They pay a share to the producers' cooperative, which gives them ownership over their trade or enterprise. It gives them a sense of confidence to negotiate on equal footing with traders, contractors, and employers. It has been Seva's experience that the severe consequences that women face when they raise their voices can be overcome through the joint action of union and cooperatives. Training and education are other important strategies for raising women's awareness.
Kapila Ben has been elected as Seva's president for the third consecutive term. She highly values the training that Seva has provided, which has helped her come to this position.
When I joined Seva, I was very happy to see that Seva is working to create awareness among women. I used to live my life like a slave, confined to the four walls of my home. I have studied only till 8th grade. I used to think that educated people are very fortunate because they can get ahead in life. But now, I have been with Seva for 20 years. I no longer think of myself as uneducated. I think I have earned many degrees.
On Wings, the topic is India's Self-Employed Women's Association, known by the acronym Seva, which means service. Here again are producers Smita Ramanathan and Manju Venkat. Manju reads from the book by Seva founder Ila Bhatt, whom Manju calls Ila Ben, meaning Sister Ila.
Let me quote a passage from Ila Ben's book, Anubandh. Education in the Seva experience has equipped the poor working women with the know-how to raise income and brought awareness of her rightful place in the world. It has given her the dignity and courage to find and to use her voice. Exploitation becomes difficult if the people are aware. Ideas of justice and fairness become active pursuits and not just notions. Above all, the right education empowers everybody, not just a few. Seva's version of the old saying goes, "Give a woman a fish and she will share it with her family. Show her how to fish and her whole village becomes a fishing village."
In Seva's experience, with such an education, the women reach out far beyond their own villages. Seva's General Secretary, Jyoti Makwan, elaborates.
My all family grows tobacco, agriculture, and my mother was organized by Seva before, I think, almost 35 years now. And she became the member of the Seva as a worker. And at that time, I was working with my mother in the factories and I was studying too. So I finished my commerce graduate. And then after that, because I knew my mother was with Seva for so many years before I joined, and I know the benefit of my mother getting organized at Seva, what came to my family. And then I decided, after I finished my study, I decided that I would like to join full-time to organize other tobacco workers like me in my own district. So that's how I joined Seva in 1986.
Jyoti Ben believes that it is the investment in the process of organizing that has helped Seva achieve its vision.
The workers, the members of Seva, becomes the owner, manager and user of their own trade, of their own organization. And I'm the example of that, coming from a tobacco worker family, now being elected as the General Secretary of Seva, and that's how we are trying to manage.
Today, there are many such members in Seva who have been empowered and who continue to work with other women. They work in different trades and help realize the vision of Seva. Let us listen to Rajiben. Rajiben is a rag picker and is a leader of this particular trade group.
मेरा नाम राजी बहन है और मैं एक कागज चुनने वाली बहन हूँ और 25 साल से सेवा के साथ जुड़ी हुई हूँ.
My name is राजी बहन. I organize women who work as rag pickers in the city of Ahmedabad. I have been with Seva for 25 years. When the Seva sisters first came to my locality to organize, I did not listen to them as I thought they were intruding into my work time and I would lose my earnings. But they sat down with us, listened to us and talked to us. They said if we come together, we can improve our working conditions. I was convinced, but I doubted if I could be able to do anything. They asked me to speak to the other sisters and convince them. I thought this was a good thing. After all, who listens to women like us? We are just rag pickers and we get no respect. I spoke to others and five of us joined Seva. Today I have organized 6,000 such workers in Ahmedabad. It has been a long and slow process because people take time to get convinced. We have to make several efforts to convince them. Seva is a stream that flows slowly.
Rag pickers are a key component of the waste recycling industry in India. They collect recyclable waste from the vast garbage dumps and sell them to contractors who pay them by weight of the matter collected. Their labor is difficult and even hazardous as they often collect waste without any protective gear. Yet they are paid a pittance. Many a times, contractors shortchange them by using incorrect weights. Rajiben says that most of them are illiterate and do not have the means to educate their children. Many of them have alcoholic husbands. Today, Seva has organized 35,000 rag pickers and domestic workers. The membership in Seva has helped them improve their livelihoods and educate their children. They have negotiated for increase in the price of waste and an annual bonus. Members are trained to sort and weigh the waste and how to maintain hygiene. They have been able to access scholarships for their children. They have formed a cooperative society called the Gitanjali Cooperative Society with members from the Rag Pickers group. This cooperative manufactures stationery such as notebooks, files and folders. They supply to big corporates in India and abroad. Rajiben's daughters-in-law work in this society, which provides employment to around 150 women. She has made sure that her grandchildren are educated. She says that from being a mere rag picker, she is now someone with great respect in her community.
Like BD rolling, incense stick rolling too is a home-based occupation. Practically every household in India uses these sticks for its daily worship. Unfortunately, the women who manufacture these sticks do not always enjoy their fragrance. The women work long hours rolling the black paste that goes into these sticks. Their faces and hands, the walls of their houses, everything gets covered in black dust. They also suffer from health problems due to their exposure to this material. Anisha Sheikh is one such worker and an organizer with सेवा
सेवा की बहने आई तो बोले कि आप सेवा से जुड़ जाओ हमारे सास ने वो लोग बोले हम कभी भी घर से ही बाहर नहीं निकलते
When the Seva sisters first came to our locality to organize us, I was hesitant. In our Muslim community, we women hardly step out of the house. We wear the veil. We don't even talk to men. All of us work at rolling incense sticks in our house. However, the Seva sisters persisted, and I saw that there were only women working in Seva. I convinced my husband to let me become a member. I said this will help secure the future of our three daughters. After I became a member, I attended many training sessions. Though I am educated only till grade 4th, I got a lot of knowledge on workers' rights with the Seva movement. I joined Seva in 2002 and started organizing incense stick workers. Seeing so many women at work has given me strength and courage. Today, I have organized almost 5,000 workers belonging to the Muslim community. I have given up wearing the veil.
तो बहने अगरबत्ती बनाती थी, लेकिन अगरबत्ती बना के जब वो देने जाती थी ना तो पीस रेट था हजार।
वी आर पेड अ पीस रेट। ऑफन कॉन्ट्रैक्टर्स रिजेक्ट मेनी पीसेज एज एन एक्सक्यूज फॉर पेइंग लोअर वेजेस। वी यूज टू नेगोशिएट विद द कंपनीज टू रिड्यूस रिजेक्शन। वी हैव बीन बार्गेनिंग विद द मैन्युफैक्चरर्स फॉर आवर वेज इंक्रीज। सो वी हैव ट्राइपार्टाइट मीटिंग्स to negotiate wage increase, where members from the manufacturers' associations, government representatives, and SEWA talk to arrive at a mutually agreeable rate and for bonus. We know from experience of BD workers that any demands for steep increase can lead to closure of the units, leading to loss of livelihoods for the workers. We conducted time motion studies with the Department of Labor to arrive at the rates for minimum wage. I used to worry about how I would raise my children. Today, my daughters are all doing well. One is in grade 10. My twin daughters are in 11th grade and are sportswomen. They play judo at the national level and have won gold medals. They dream of competing in the Olympics. My community now holds me in high regard. My in-laws and my parents consult me before taking any major decision.
As has been mentioned before, SEWA has formed several cooperative societies. These organizations cater to the development needs of members, keeping in mind the specific nature of each trade. There are many such cooperatives within the SEWA family, which includes dairy cooperatives, agriculture cooperatives, labor cooperatives, trading cooperatives, vendors cooperatives, among others. One overarching need cutting across all trades was that of credit. This led to the formation of the SEWA Women's Cooperative Bank in 1974. Let us listen to Jayashree Vyas, its managing director.
You might have heard about the SEWA's history, right? Mm. So when those all those women came and there was a union, there were of course lots of problems with these women. They were caught in this whole vicious cycle of vulnerability and poverty. But there were two financial problems. One was that though they were economically active, they did not have capital. So paying lots of interest on capital, so lack of capital. Hmm. So that was one. And the second was those women handcart pullers. So the handcart puller does not have her own cart, or a garment maker would not have her own sewing machine. Hmm. So basically not having capital, not having asset. So then we thought that there is a need for giving some credit to these women at a lower rate of interest.
Initially, SEWA worked out a tie-up with state-owned banks which had a mandate to serve the poor. However, the banks were not used to serving poor, illiterate women, nor were the women used to dealing with banks. The women were not able to furnish proper identity documents or stick to the bank's time schedules. When they realized that this arrangement was not serving the needs of the members, SEWA had to rethink.
And then there was a meeting of lots of all those members of SEWA Union. So all women were talking about the practical problems they were facing with banks. And there was one woman, Chanda Ben, who was an old clothes seller. You know, she said that let us have our own bank. I think she also didn't know what she meant by that. But what she was saying was that, you know, this will be the place where we will be accepted as we are. So initially, Illa Ben said, how can there be a bank of poor illiterate women? But she said that, yes, we are poor, but we are so many. So she said that, you know, from where will we bring capital? And they said, but there were many leaders there. They said, we will bring that capital from women. And they actually did it. And within a period of 6 months, they collected from 4,000 women. There was, of course, the bylaws and there was a needed for promoters. The question which was asked was that a woman who does not know how to sign her name, how will she be able to operate her account? Our argument was that yes, it is true that they are illiterate, but they are economically active and they do need banking services. And in a country where many people are illiterate, you just cannot bypass them. So anyway, after much of the arguments, we did get a registration as a bank, and we have more than 500,000 women who are regularly banking with us. And our objective was very clear, that we want to help these women to come out of this whole vicious cycle of poverty, help them to build their assets, their capital, and have a better living conditions. Strengthening their whatever economic activity was our biggest objective.
The bank's very first loan was given to a water vendor. She borrowed 50 rupees to buy a mud pot and glasses. Based on customer needs, the bank devised special loan and savings products. For example, they gave loans for repayment of old loans which had been given at higher interest. They collected customer savings from their doorstep.
Vendors and hawkers form another trade category at Seva. Jignasa Parmar is on the campaign team that works with vendors and hawkers. Her mother, also a Seva member, was a street vendor, and Jignasa used to help her mother as a child. She has been with Seva for 17 years now. Her team helps members overcome problems such as harassment by police and others, eviction by authorities. They work closely with the city's civic authorities to ensure that vendors are issued identity cards, licenses, and vending spaces in various markets. She talks of an incident in a market in Ahmedabad, where 14 Seva members who had been assigned a particular space were harassed by other vendors in the same market.
Sometimes such unpleasant situations arise. One man, who is also a committee member, wanted the space given to Seva members for his people. The men in his stalls came to the space where our sisters were vending and threw away their wares. They then started abusing them verbally. They called women from their families to fight with our sisters. We reported the matter to our office. Our vice president, Manali Behn, asked us to come to the office with those men. She told them, "You have called 20 women from your house to fight on your behalf, but we have nearly 2 million women backing us. All we have to do is gather them all." She asked them to apologize to us. Then they realized the strength of Seva, and the next day they helped our members put their stalls back in place.
Manali Behn states that collective strength helps the women overcome not just the challenges in their professional but also personal lives. She gives an example of how women in a particular chawl or locality in Ahmedabad opposed a liquor shop in their area. They termed their action Satyagraha. Satyagraha literally means the insistence on truth. The term was used by Mahatma Gandhi to mean non-violent resistance.
In one of the chawl, we have construction workers and waste recyclers leaving. In their chawl, liquor selling was going on. So they don't like it because there is no safety of their young girls and the daughter-in-laws. So they talked to that fellow that, "Please stop this." But they said, "No, whatever you want to do, you do it." And so then what they did? They all just lay down on the crossroad. So that's how they said, "We don't want this. Stop this. Then we will get up." So police came. They were beaten. But they said, "No, please stop this. Stop this." So there was a big attack. And then they called us. They said, "We did this. This is Satyagraha. So we did the Satyagraha and we are beaten. Please come." So then we went there and then we talked to the police and like that. But there was a big attack on them after that also. These are the values we believe in Seva.
It is this collective strength that helps the Seva sisters establish their identity and secure their livelihoods. The story of this movement will continue in part 2 of this program. This is Manju Venkat and Smita Ramnathan saying goodbye from India. We thank Neelu Kulkarni and Sapna Rawat for providing voiceovers for the Hindi language narration. Thank you for listening.
To hear Wings programs again, visit wingsradio.org. We are also Wings Radio on Facebook. Thank you to all our supporters, including your local community radio station, Suzette Cullen, and Genevieve Vaughn, editor of the book Women and the Gift Economy. The Wings sound logo is from Lee Bana's album A Circle is Cast. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.